Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Charles Carrier. Charles Carrier is a New Orleans native who attended the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where he was a Morehead Scholar. He received his BA in anthropology. After teaching for a year at the Jakarta International School, he attended the Freeman School of Business at Tulane University, earning his MBA in finance. Charles then joined the investment firm of Johnson Rice & Company, where he worked as an analyst and institutional stockbroker. He founded Scandi and Interscan in 2014 as a side hustle and left Johnson Rice in 2017 to work more closely with the companies he started. Well, good afternoon, Charles. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Brian. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Again, I share this with my audience every day. They're probably tired of hearing it, but this is really the most exciting part of my day is actually getting to meet a new person on the show and share their story with the world. So this is amazing. So Charles, let's jump into the questions. You've got quite the career working in various verticals. I thought you had a very interesting background, but most recently being founder and entrepreneur of your two companies. Could you share with our audience the secret to your career growth and what inspires you?
Absolutely. Would love to. I don't know that it's a secret. It's probably accidental more than anything else. But I would say that if there's one word I could say, it would be curiosity, probably the most important thing that drives me. Can I figure this thing out? Can I find a way to understand this problem? And can I work towards a solution? Quite frankly, when I started the company, I knew nothing about 3D scanning, and I only knew the 3D printing business from a business analysis and a financial accounting perspective. I didn't know how to write code, much less coding around 3D reconstruction, but I started a software company anyway, because that was the way that I was going to get the answers that I wanted. Coming into this industry, I basically had to admit that I knew very little about it, but I was curious enough to learn. I was fortunate in that I partnered with some really smart people who shared my interests and had complementary skill sets. And so along the way, we've been able to learn from one another and really expand our circles of proficiency.
Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate the share and always curious myself and want to learn more about how people got to where they're at. So thanks for sharing. And Charles, as you know, everybody globally recently has had to make major shifts to adapt to the new normal in this pandemic. Could you share with us what you're doing to help your organization stay relevant in this economy?
Sure. I think the first thing we really had to do was to make sure that everybody on Scandi's team could work remotely. I mean, you can't be relevant if your team isn't safe and can't work. So the advantage that we had is that, you know, my co-founder and CEO of the company had been working remotely up in Chicago for the last 2 years. And, you know, as we built out the team, we built that out with the ability to work remotely in mind. So we already had a really good set of tools. We were using Zoom and Slack before it was cool to use Zoom and Slack. And I guess maybe it's now it's not cool. It's more of a drag. I think that the tool set that we'd had built out was really important for us. I think the second thing that we benefited from was the fact that the pandemic accelerated the shift to e-commerce. And we've seen a lot of that shift generate interesting discussions with various market players around how 3D scanning can have a larger role in e-commerce. So, you know, once we see that shift coming, once we have our team working remotely and have all the tools in place, the next thing we really had to do was to understand where our highest and best value was to that existing trend. And really, it was one of the things that Scandi does really well is body scanning. So we can do a highly accurate 3D scan of the face, of the hand, of the foot, a full body scan, whether it's for measuring fitness or correct sizing of apparel or shoes. That's really where we should. And so I think that in order to take advantage, there are a lot of problems that 3D scanning can solve. And the acceleration of e-commerce that was generated by the pandemic, I think really focused us in on those things that we did exceptionally well around 3D scanning with the form factor of the iPhone 10, 10S, 10R, 11, and 11 Pro.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate the way you pivoted within your organization during this time. It's been very challenging for everybody. But as you know, the human spirit moves on and takes on these challenges head on. So thank you. And Charles, this is a good question that I like to understand a little bit more. Are you leveraging any newer emerging technologies within your space? And obviously you are, but could you talk maybe about your latest release with 3D scanning, LiDAR, and the fact that it's integrated with the new iPhone 12?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. These are emergent technologies, and I don't want to suggest that they're not, but we've been working with depth maps created by depth sensors since the company started. So I don't want to say that it's not new tech, but it's a new implementation. So when the iPhone 10 came out with the depth sensor, the true depth sensor that was used for Face ID, as soon as we got our hands on one, we had a scanning demo up and running within a week. And just a couple months later, we launched our first 3D scanning app on the iPhone 10. And the reason we were able to do that was because we've been working with that for several years. So our first app came out with was a 3D scan to 3D print app, which used a structure sensor and an iPad. We launched that in early 15. We then launched our 3D scanning app on Google's Tango program for a brief period of time when Tango had the first augmented reality, when Google's Tango platform facilitated the first augmented reality phone with a depth sensor. We'd already launched on iOS. We then launched on Android, and then with the launch of the iPhone 10 and an integrated depth sensor to this huge market, that was really a game changer for us. When the LiDAR came out on the iPad 20 Pro 2020 version, it really is just another iteration of a depth map that our technology was built to use. So we were able to launch that within Scandi Pro on the iPad Pro 2020, and I just got my hands on our iPhone 12 Pro last night, and the LiDAR scanning on it works just fine. Obviously, we've got a lot to do to create a better user experience for that. Just to be clear, the TrueDepth sensor that is the user-facing sensor on the iPhone 10, 11, and 12 versions is great for object scanning. It's great for close-up scanning and getting very high-resolution scans. The LiDAR sensor that is on the world-facing camera is really good for room scale or world scale scanning. So if you want to capture an environment, a room, a house, your backyard, the LiDAR sensor is the one to use. We're very excited to see what people do with it. We've had folks asking us for years, literally years, well, can I use this for the construction industry? Can I use this to scan a room for furniture? Can I use this to, you know, measure how much insulation I'm putting between two studs when I'm building a house? I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount of inbound that we got. And the biggest challenge was people didn't want to buy an external sensor. And so in the user-facing camera, the TrueDepth camera just wasn't well-suited for those applications. And now that you have LiDAR on a world-facing camera, I think there are all sorts of applications that are coming. We build the very basic tools in Scandi Pro for people to do general purpose scanning. And we're excited to see how users put that into practice, what they do with the tools. And then we can go iterate on that and provide higher quality, more specialized tool sets around those various use cases. The fun part about it is that new depth sensors coming out are really our playground. It's fun for us to basically make our cross-platform technology work with a new depth sensor and put it out and see what people do with it.
I appreciate the share on that, Charles, and I'm excited to start leveraging that technology as well. I think that's simply amazing what you all are doing and sharing with the world. So thank you. And Charles, I want to jump in. This is the big question that my audience would like to learn a little bit more about. Charles, could you share something from your career experience that would be helpful for those looking to grow their career in leadership or entrepreneurship?
This is a great question. I've thought about this a fair bit. And I think the biggest learning experience that I've had in this whole journey that I've had is how you work with people. You know, I came from an industry that was very entrepreneurial. We refer to it that way on the financial side. Basically, it meant that you were responsible for generating business and generating revenues on your own. And that's kind of how a lot of financial services models work. When you're building a company, you think about an entrepreneur. A lot of times you think about a sole entrepreneur, just one or two people working together. And then when you have some success, all of a sudden you've got a much bigger team. And the irony is that I think what I learned most about managing a team didn't come from business. It came from being a parent. I'm blessed. I've got four great kids, but you can't treat every one of your kids the same way. You have to treat them fairly, but you understand that individuals are motivated by different things. You know, I think that before you're a parent, you think, well, I'm just going to tell my kids, you know, it's my way or the highway, and that's the way it's all going to shake out. Maybe that works for you, but my guess is it probably won't, because your kids need to be talked to different ways. They need different motivations. There are different things that drive them. And I think that's similar for employees and contractors and people that you work with. So if as an entrepreneur, you see your team as employees, that's the wrong way to, it's not the most effective way to deal with them. You really have to see them as individuals with unique motivations and find a way to get their best work out of them by seeing them as individuals and treating them as such. And my understanding of that didn't come from business, but more from being a dad.
That's a unique way to share that insight and that perspective. And I appreciate that, Charles. We have all kinds of different answers from various folks that are on this podcast. And I appreciate the uniqueness and your insights to this particular question. So thank you. And Charles, I just want to let you know it was a pleasure having you on today. And I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
I look forward to it as well, Brian. Thank you so much.
Bye for now.